Sherlock Holmes retired from his practice as a consulting detective in 1903, decamping from London to a village in Sussex near the cliffs at Eastbourne. His intention was to lead a quiet life, keeping bees and composing monographs on whatever eclectic subjects took his fancy. For the most part, he was successful in realizing this goal. Until his death, his days were tranquil and largely untroubled by the complex and sometimes perilous intrigues in which he and I had habitually been embroiled. Occasionally, however, Holmes was obliged to abandon his beehives and his serenity and throw himself into the fray once more. Two such instances I have recorded under the titles The Adventure of the Lion's Mane and His Last Bow. Here, in the pages that follow, is another. I intend to consign this manuscript to a tin dispatch box in the vaults at Cox and Company at Charing Cross, as I have so many others. The bank's current manager, a sharp, efficient Welshman by the name of Llewellyn, has taken to rolling his eyes every time I arrive in his office with yet one more sheaf of paper to entrust to his safekeeping. "Another of your Sherlock Holmes chronicles that nobody will get to read, Dr. Watson," he sighs. "Such a shame to deprive your loyal readers of further entertainment." Entertainment it may be to him, and to many, but the cases Holmes and I investigated were anything but entertaining to us. They were a serious and sometimes deadly business. Often we were lucky to escape with our lives, or indeed with our sanity intact. In this particular instance, I refrain from tendering this account for publication in the Strand or elsewhere on the grounds that it touches on events still fresh in the public memory. It is only 5 years since the armistice ended the catastrophe in Europe, the so-called Great War. The cessation of hostilities may have brought peace to the continent, but the hearts and minds of the British public are still troubled. We have seen slaughter on an unprecedented scale, millions dead, an entire generation decimated, and the psychological wounds inflicted on all of us have yet to heal, in much the same way that physical wounds continue to blight the lives of countless veterans of the campaign. This case, which I've dubbed Gods of War, pertains directly to the conflict as its title suggests. The events in these pages occurred in late 1913, when the storm clouds were already gathering above Europe and, as Holmes himself would put it a year later, an east wind was threatening, a cold and bitter one which would see a good many men wither before its blast. It is perhaps too soon to reopen the subject, and certainly would not be politic at this time to reveal that there were some in England who, far from being appalled at the prospect of war, eagerly anticipated it. John H. Watson, M.D., retired, 1923.